St. Francis was a very loved figure in his own lifetime, and very quickly after his death, images were reproduced, portraits or representations of Francis of Assisi began to appear. So today I'm going to talk about three of the earliest portraits or representations of Francis of Assisi. The first one was dated, well, St. Francis, I should say, lived from 1182 until 1226. And the first image of Francis of Assisi, we believe, dates to 1228. We believe it's a very close representation of the person. And that portrait or that representation is in the chapel of St. Gregory in Sacro Specco in Subiaco in Italy. And we're not really sure who did it. It's a fresco. It hangs to the right of the entrance to the cave, and it's inscribed. And it depicts Francis wearing the rough habit and the knotted cord about his waist. And in his hands he holds a scroll. He's also barefoot. So, well, we don't know who exactly did it. We can date it pretty accurately to more than likely 2 years after Francis's death. So that's quite interesting. So very, very quickly, people wanted to commemorate and to remember him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting that it was the scroll and being barefoot. He was like the barefoot scholar, you know. He was very intellectual, but also not a man of pretenses.
Exactly, and that continues in further representations of him. And the second earliest portrait of Francis of Assisi is by the artist Cimabue. And Cimabue painted frescoes in Assisi. So I've read that when Cimabue came to the painting or the representation of Francis of Assisi, he went around to everybody who may have known Francis, or, you know, who knew somebody who knew him. And the artist was very diligent going around asking people, you know, what did he look like? What can you tell me about him? So we believe that the representation by Cimabue is also quite accurate. So these are all links, very tangible links to the saint.
When the artists were painting St. Francis, and you said a lot of them spoke to people who knew St. Francis and they looked into his work, what were the things about St. Francis that really inspired them, or that they wanted to highlight in the art?
Well, the artists were given a commission to represent stories from the life of St. Francis, and these stories came from the written work of St. Bonaventure. There are 28 frescoes in the Basilica in Assisi, and the artists would have studied those. So there was a huge amount of planning, and in that planning, the artists would be thinking and reflecting on the work of St. Bonaventure, the stories of St. Francis. So it would be very much very contemplative, they'd be very engaged, and they would be looking at their own world. So in the case of Giotto, his 28 frescoes were painted sort of between 1297 and 1300. So actually that's fairly fast. The technique of fresco is you have to work quite fast, but also just the composition and the thought behind it. It must have been fairly clear to the artist from the written accounts. It must have been quite clear to interpret. So I think that's quite interesting.
St. Bonaventure was very good and very detailed at highlighting the life of St. Francis.
Yes, it would seem so. And in that way, the artist has been able to translate it for us into visual form to make it easier for pilgrims in the past and today as well to understand. And in fact, many of those frescoes are such famous images that we see them very frequently without necessarily even realizing, you know, where they've come from. The image of St. Francis preaching to the birds, of course, is very famous. But even the placing of that within the basilica is quite exciting, because when a person enters a church, they're facing forward most of the time, and then the only time they turn around is when they leave the church. And when you're leaving the basilica in Assisi, that's when you see one of the most important stories from St. Francis, and that's the story of him speaking to the birds.
Yeah, I mean, that must all have been very carefully thought out, and, you know, the type of image they wanted people to take home with them in that particular case, or in general, the images that they wanted surrounding people while they were at prayer.
Yes, absolutely. And in something that we should remember, that we today, centuries later, there are many critiques and reviews and descriptions and opinions about, let's say, for this work we're talking about, St. Francis preaching to the birds. And that title is something that we use without thinking. But when you're looking at the artwork, and if it's possible, don't look at it in a book. Go to the source, go to Assisi and go to the Basilica and experience what the artist intended. So when you're on your way out of the church and you see this fabulous image with naturalized colors, Giotto is very famous for moving away from the Byzantine kind of stylized era of painting. He moved towards naturalism and he introduced emotion. He introduced natural colors and he moved away from representations of the heavens as in, you know, gold. He used blues, natural colors. He used a pigment called azurite to paint Francis's robe. So it's very natural, earthy. But on your way out or at any time when you're looking at artwork, try to forget the critiques and the reviews and magazines or journals or books that you may have seen or read. Try to dispose of those in your mind and see what is the artist actually conveying to you. And I would propose that in the case of St. Francis preaching to the birds, what struck me the most when I saw that painting in real life was, it didn't look to me like he was preaching to the birds. It looked to me like he was bending down to listen to them.
The story of how St. Francis got included in the church, or got, you know, asked to come on board in the church, is very interesting as well, isn't it? I mean, it's a little bit reminiscent, I suppose, almost of what's happening today with Pope Francis. But it's, you know, it was a very unexpected. Tell us the story anyway.
Well, Francis went to Rome. He and some of his brothers travelled to Rome because they wanted to meet the Pope and ask him for their rule to be recognised. But the Pope was busy and he didn't really want to see them. And so Francis and his brothers, they kind of went off, and I imagine they must have been feeling a little bit down about it. They stayed nearby, and Pope Innocent III was in bed one night, and he was dreaming, and he dreamt that the church was falling down around him. And this was obviously a terrifying dream. And he noticed, though, that the church wasn't quite falling down. Somebody was propping it up. And Giotto represents this dream in one of those 28 frescoes, and it's actually referred to as the Dream of Innocent III. And in this painting, a wonderful, colourful painting with natural colours, this again was Giotto was famous for, we see Pope Innocent III dressed, covered in lavish, rich fabrics in a four-poster bed. There's two men, maybe like security guards, maybe. They're sitting by the bed, keeping watch over him. There's golden curtains around the bed as well. And Giotto uses very strong lines and colour to depict the four-poster bed on the right-hand side. And then on the other side, he shows what Innocent III is dreaming about. And he's dreaming of this guy in a kind of a brown robe, and he is full of energy, he's strong, and he's actually holding up the Basilica of St. John Lateran. And so Pope Innocent knows who this guy is. It's the guy he refused to see earlier that day. So he jumped up out of this nightmare and he said, quick, 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 get me that guy that came up here earlier. I think his name is Francis. So word was sent out. And Francis was called, and they met near the Basilica of St. John Lateran. And in this painting, you can almost see the structure of St. John Lateran. It's, even though it's a painting that is hundreds of years old, it's a fresco. We don't really even use that style or that material media for painting now. You can really clearly understand the message of the painting. So Francis met Pope Innocent III. They had a conversation, obviously, and Pope Innocent III kind of asked him to help him prop up or rescue the church.
Yeah. Very interesting, isn't it? And like I said, almost analogous to the role that Pope Francis finds himself in today.
Yeah, both unexpected people, both humble people, both people that the world like and want to like, and I believe people want to help, and both people who I believe value the contribution of all of God's creatures.